Welcome to Christian Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website, 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
Can somebody say hallelujah? All right.
No struggle. Does anybody know about struggles? How many of you know that he's the one that's taking us out of them? Anybody survived a struggle? Holla out. I love it. Wow. We've been talking and winding down our study on spiritual architecture and design for life. We have to understand that Yahweh God, he wants to design our life. There's some amazing things that he's planned for us. There's some amazing outcomes. There's some amazing victories that he has in store for us. But we have to let him take the direction of our lives. And so that's what we have been talking about. If you will go in your word to Ephesians, the 2nd chapter. This is the wellspring foundational scripture that we have been using in what we have been talking about. The world is so crazy right now. I mean, maybe the world has always been crazy. And I haven't lived through some stuff. So, I mean, I was born in 1967. I'm sure some other crazy things happened prior to that. But I must say that this is the craziest that I've ever witnessed. It's like the world is going backwards. Right? I mean, there was a civil rights movement and so many gangs. And then now, it's almost like they're trying to turn the clock back.
Yeah.
But it lets you know the state of the world. There's so much hate. There's so much what is another word for hate?
Wickedness,
evil hearts that are out here. And the word says that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, right? But it's the powers and all sorts of spiritual wickedness and what? High places. And so what our teaching is from the word, is straight from the word. We're not here for religion. We are not here for tradition. We are not here out of ritual or anything like that. Everything that we do is truth. I don't know about you, but in a world with a bunch of lies, I need to know what's true. I'm serious. I mean, I am a truth seeker. I'm a truth seeker in everything. When I was a student, I was a professional student. I went to school. It took me 10 years to get my degree. You 4 years, people, hallelujah, glory to God for you. But it took me a little longer than that. And I've said this before. Some of y'all graduated magna cum laude and all these other things. I graduated, thank you, Lordy. I was just like, this is taking a long time. But the reason why it took a long time was working, and I'm trying to work and go to school and go half-time, and then sometimes I go full-time, and then sometimes I sign up for full-time and end up going half-time and dropping classes. But hallelujah! I got it in the end. I got my degree. Hey, there's no struggle he couldn't see me through. But when I'm saying that to say that there was just so much, as a professional student, I things needed to make sense to me. You know, it needed to make sense. And I studied and, you know, I got the information. And then even before, you know, when I started to forge a relationship with Yahweh through going through stuff. See, you think you are right until you bump your head. I could not ride on my parents' salvation anymore. I rode that wave. I was on a surfboard. I was riding that wave. But then when I got older, I had to stand on what? And so I had to know Yahweh God for myself. And I'm telling y'all, he's a deliverer. He is a peace bringer. He is a mind saver. I mean, the things that you can go through where you almost feel like you're losing your mind kept me. And so I forged relationships. So then when I started studying his word, it made sense. And as a scientist, I would go and find stuff in science, and then I come and be like, there is no way that all of this happened from a big bang and it just so happened to blow up. And out of a big bang of chaos, you get all this order and all this design and all this. That's not going to happen. This came from intelligent design. Yahweh created this. He knew exactly what he was doing. He's a detailed God. Come on, y'all. You can just look at how stuff works and know that you're serving a God that has created all of this. So I trust him. And so I have turned my life over to serving him and to being a servant to his people, because I want to help y'all. You know, it makes sense. If you study, it makes sense. I'm going to say that again. If you study, it makes sense. If you only come here and listen to me talk and you don't dust your Bible off and read it for yourself, it ain't going to make no sense to you. This is stuff that you have to meditate on. You got to study it. And you know, well, that's your job, Pastor. Well, granted, I have a responsibility to study the word, but I believe in 2 Timothy 2:15. It doesn't just apply to me, but to every believer. It says study to show. I don't want to use, the word says thyself. I would like to use another word in the vernacular. Study to show yourself. You. Study to show myself. Say it. I have to study to show myself. Approved. A workman that what? Need not. Why would you be shamed? Why would any of y'all be shamed in your salvation? Because somebody come and say something, you'd be like, what? I don't know what that, I never heard that before. Oh, you never heard God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son? You never heard that before? Oh, okay. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Yes, right.
I mean, that's just one of the ABCs. Right? I mean, isn't that just one, just the basic thing? Give me some, yeah, shout out some basic scripture we should know. God so loved the world, what else?
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Be baptized, what? This is basic stuff. Right? Every one of you, for the remission of your sins, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, right? Don't try to show how smart you are. Say what the scriptures say. Don't throw out the chapter and verse. Say the scriptures. You can do all things. What else? We are more than conquerors. Right? No weapon what? If you don't know that stuff, you should be ashamed of yourself. Because these things empower you to do the things that you do. Right? I'm going here to Ephesians 2nd chapter, 10th verse says what? For we are his what? I think a lot of times we got a lot of problems because we don't know who we are. Maybe you don't know who you belong to. You can only belong to one of two entities. Either you belong to God or you belong to the other dude. And if you belong to the other dude, you're going to serve the other dude. If you belong to God, you're going to what? Because the word says you cannot serve two masters. You're either going to love the one and what? Hate the other. It makes sense. Brothers, I know you might believe that you can.
Uh-oh, watch out now.
You can love more than one.
Can't do that.
You know, they got this crazy show. I was on vacation a couple weeks ago, and you know, they got some crazy stuff on TV, y'all. You got to discern what you watch on TV. There's some crazy stuff, and I am not ashamed to say what this show was that I turned past because I didn't know who it was. I didn't know what it was. But the title of the show was called Seeking Sister Wife. So I guess in this show, people are looking for multiple wives. This dude was looking for a woman who doesn't mind him having more than one wife. I had heard of another show in Utah about, you know, the Mormons. This wasn't that show. This show was in Atlanta. Uh-huh. And this show, I mean, the people look like y'all. Uh-huh. You had this dude who had a wife, a sister wife. Does anybody know what I'm talking about when I say? What am I talking about, sister? African-American sister. And since African-American sister was saying, yes, Johnny, it's okay that we find you another wife. That ain't a real sister. But the craziness about it was that they found somebody and then it didn't work out because
somebody is like somebody.
Exactly. The love was supposed to be equally distributed. But it wasn't. Because you cannot. And then I had heard from somebody else that even the sister wife, even the Utah folks, they're not getting along. It's about four or five of them now. Why? Because they all were, you with Susie Q. Well, you over there with Sir Lita, and I need you to be over here. But he got, and the dudes are, well, you know, I gotta try to split my time equally.
Can't do it.
You ain't man enough.
Oh, mother said he wasn't man enough. All right. What am I saying that to say? I'm saying that to say, y'all, we can't serve. It's not going to work. You're going to love the one or you're going to what? So I think the moral of this story is y'all need to make up your mind who you want your master to be. Do you want your master to be God, Yahweh, or do you want your master to be the other dude, the fowler, the adversary? Do you want it to be him? And then your decision is based on not what comes out of your mouth, but what are your actions? What are you doing? How are you demonstrating that? Okay? So it says we are his workmanship created in Mashiach Yeshua under good works, which Yahweh has ordained that we what? Should walk in them. So we have been talking about the children of Israel came back to their home. We're trying to illuminate the fact that no matter what you guys have gone through, there's an opportunity for you to rebuild your life. Your life can change. It can. All you have to do is what? Allow it. Make up your mind. A billionaire was saying, this is a mind thing. We got to change people's what? Mindsets. Right? You gotta talk this. And what you speak, you gotta what? Believe. He got another shirt called "You Can Never Have Too Much Faith." I know that's the truth. Because it's, without faith, it's what?
Impossible.
Impossible. To what? Please Him. So we got to make up our minds who we want to serve. So we got an opportunity to change our life. How do I know? Well, my life is so far gone. No. Last week, I had you inhale and exhale. As long as you can do that, you have an opportunity to change. Come on. To make up your mind. But you got to make up your mind. Right? There was a time when I was like 195. Well, no, dude. I had a 17-inch neck. I was just, I can only wear 17 and a half, 18-inch. I call myself working out, but then it turned into something else. My dad said, yeah. Because I was just huge. And I had to what? Do you know one of the hardest things in life is to lose weight? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And people are looking at me there, yeah, you doing all right. You have no idea what my struggle has been. I got some pants that will tell you that the struggle was real. Because I mean, I was wearing 46 jackets. Somebody, you didn't know what was happening. You know what I'm saying? It took me years to make up my mind to eat right. Because I could be a slave to carbohydrates. Any former carb slaves? Yes. But I had to make up my mind. I had to look at the cake and say, you know what? Cake, you look better sitting on that plate than on me. Who's dieted before?
Everybody.
Everybody. You got to what?
Will your mind.
You got to will yourself.
Focus.
You got to focus. And so this is what we've been talking about. You got to make up your mind that you want to live a different life. So go with me to Nehemiah. And so what we found out were that there were these different gates. When they came back, their whole, and we're going to go to the third chapter. When they came back to their hometown, the children of Israel, they were all messed up, but their homeland was messed up. Their gates were burned. All the places, the walls that protected the city. And so they had to rebuild it. And Nehemiah, the fourth chapter, the sixth verse. I'm sorry, I told you to go to three, but go to four. And I'm going to use this little time that I have to open up one more of the gates. I think I'm on gate number eight right now. And I'm going to go into that today. And it says, so, 4:6 says, so built we. Say we.
We.
There's some stuff that, like, we got to do together. We got to encourage each other. That's why I'm so glad that we're doing this theme of unity, because it's this mindset that we're all alone. That we're all, you know, just doing our own thing. And you know, we do have our individual lives, but there's some blessings that come when we actually do stuff together. There's something supernatural that happens when we join up in unity to the corporate blessing. You know? I was given an example in Bible study where, you know, I didn't want to have anything to do with the company that I worked for coming together. I was like, oh, they partying, they're doing all that stuff. But the boss said, listen, no, we're trying to get people to work together, so you got to come to this corporate event, you know. You don't have to do all the crazy stuff they do, you know. You don't have to get on dance floor and all that stuff. Just go and, you know, just let people know that you're a team player. Anybody had a company like that? We just need to know that you're a team player. Tom, we just need to know that you're working with the team. So I'm like, okay, I'll go. So I went to the event, and long story short, they had a little raffle. I ended up winning a laptop computer. And some other stuff that I had no idea. But I got blessed by kind of hooking up to the corporate thing. I didn't have to do the crazy stuff. I just needed to, you know, show up and say, hey, I'm here. And I stayed long enough because there was just something. When I got the ticket, I just knew that I'm going to win. And I told Stephanie, I said, we're going to win. She said, hey. I said, we going, I spoke it. We going, I just had a move. We going to win. And they said, no, now the laptop computer. And boom, what the number that they called, and it was almost like I got up before they even finished calling. But going in there, I didn't know they were going to do that, but there's something that happened when I hooked up. And that's just an example. When you hook up to the corporate blessing in God, God, you have no idea what he has in store for you. You have no, the word says eyes have not seen and ears have not heard. And so when they came together, they actually allowed something to happen. We built the wall and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had what? And they did it in about 50 something days, and it took them, they couldn't get nothing together for 70 years. And when they finally made up their mind, they rebuilt their city in a matter of days. So it just shows you what happened when you make up your mind. And so the eighth gate, and I'm going to jump there today, go to Nehemiah, and each gate describes something in our salvation. Nehemiah, the third chapter, the 28th verse. If you want to hear about the other gates we've been talking about, it, go to the media center and get the CD or whatever it is that they have for you. I believe they also are dropping stuff onto drives. Look at God. We have elevated. So Nehemiah, the third chapter, 28th verse. Beyond the horse gate, the priests made repairs, each in front of his own house. And the horse gate was an area where they brought in the horses. Well, what were the horses for? The horses were about work, and the horses were about warfare. The horses are speaking to us is that, saints, you got to go through something. You're going to have stuff happen. But he's giving you the tools to overcome whatever happens. The word says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but Yahweh delivers them out of them all. There is nothing that he can deliver you out of. But I don't understand believers thinking they ain't got to fight. Believer, when you signed up to be a believer, you signed up for the army of God. There's a benefit that happens when you what? Sign up for the army. There's a comedian online talking about, oh, she at the restaurant, oh, can I get the veterans discount? And it was like, oh, yeah, you can get the veterans discount. Do you have proof that, you know, you're a veteran? And she said, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord.
That's right.
Did she get the benefit? No. But there are other benefits. There's spiritual benefits, understanding that you are what? In the army. Tell your neighbor, we are soldiers. And to build or rebuild, you got to fight. I was telling them in Bible study, you got to give up something to get something.
That's
It's an exchange. That's how this thing works. And so he's saying right here, go here to, let's go here. We want to go to Ephesians, the sixth chapter. And you got to be, this is one of them ABC scriptures. You got to know this. You cannot be ignorant concerning this. You got to know this. Ephesians, the sixth chapter, the 10th verse. Tell yourself, I'm a soldier. You got to fight. Say, I have to fight. Now, the cool thing about it is that the victory has already been determined in your favor. All you got to do is walk in it. He's already made you victorious. So all you got to do is just walk in it. I can do this. And so it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in Yahweh, in the Lord, and in the what? So I got to be strong in him. And what?
Strong.
His power, what? Works in us. It's not just about your will. Your willpower can do some things, but when you hook Yahweh's power up to it. So basically he's saying you got to make up your mind, and once you make up your mind, I'm going to bestow power. And so you got to be strong in me. You got to have faith in me. And then if you got faith in me, you can tap into my power. Come on, y'all. You can't fight yourself. You got to tap into his power. And then it says put on the what? He gave you the whole. He gave you the armor.
Oh, yeah.
But he said, put on what?
Oh.
Some of y'all only putting on one piece. You got to put on the what?
Oh.
The whole thing. Why? That you may be able to stand against the methods, the wiles, the tricks, the stumbling blocks, the obstacles of the devil, of the adversary. You have to what? Put, but he tells you what? Put it. Tell your neighbor, put it on. Tell your neighbor, keep it on. See, that's the problem. Y'all put it on, and then when you hit the door, when you hit the parking lot, you take it off. I'm gonna put it on Sunday because it's part of my churchiality. I'm putting on my church face. You're supposed to be real. You're not supposed to just put on the church face and then take it off. You're supposed to keep it on. Because guess what? You're getting some knowledge here today to prepare you for what you're about to go through this week. There's some stuff out there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. But I'm telling you today, if you put on the armor, you're going to walk in victory all week long. All week. So this is the fight. Go here. Go to Ecclesiastes. I like to use examples. There was a prophet named Jeremiah. Oh, Jeremiah. He had purpose. His own people. He was trying to help his own people. He had a word for his people. He was telling his people the truth. Y'all sinning. Y'all are you're losing where you came from. You got to turn around. You got to do some stuff. How many people think it's easy to help people? Anybody tried to help somebody? I've tried to help people. Just heard an apostle murmur, yeah, they'll turn on you in a minute.
In a minute.
Anybody ever have, you try to help people, you tell them the truth? You share some knowledge? Why? To help them. You as believers, you're supposed to try to what? Sometimes it's not about giving money to people. It's about giving knowledge to people and empowering people to, you know. What I have found, I've given my life to help people. But it's not easy helping y'all. Because when I tell you something you don't want to hear, you actually turn on me. Talk about me. Say you ain't gonna help. Quit your department. I'm trying to help you. Anybody try to help a family member?
That's the hardest thing.
And them is supposed to be people that love you like when nobody else love you. I think there's some people that know what we're talking about. So Jeremiah was one of the people. I mean, he had a love for his people. He wanted to help them. And he had a relationship with God, Yahweh, and Yahweh was speaking to him, and he was telling them what to tell the people and all this. And so he was telling them, get rid of those idols. Well, the people was mad because they was making idols. They was making money off of that. You messing with our money. But he believed that they needed to know that. You're messing with our belief. We feel good that we're sinning and doing the stuff that we want to do. And he was telling them, no, y'all can't do that and still get the benefit. He was telling the politicians that they were hypocrites. Now, then the politicians wanted to put a number out of them. And then they hated him for just saying the truth. He was telling them what the promises of God were, and they were like, we don't believe you. Poor Jeremiah. I mean, don't you feel sorry for Jeremiah? I mean, he was trying to do Yahweh's work. So guess what? Jeremiah had a pity party. And he was like, oh, the people, they're trying to kill me, God. They want to take my life. So I'm going to have to hide. He was processing this. I'm going to have to hide and go away and, And guess what it said in Ecclesiastes, the fourth chapter? I'm sorry. Let's go to Jeremiah. I want to make it faster. Jeremiah, the 12th chapter, the 5th verse. So his prayer was this. God, what am I going to do? Well, first of all, didn't you make up your mind that you was going to serve God? So if you have any problem in whatever God's telling you to do, don't you think that he's going to help you? Who believes that? So are you going to cry to God? No, God. My family done turned their back on me. Why are you putting me through this? That was what was happening. So Jeremiah, the 12th chapter, the 5th verse says, and this is God's answer. This is a problem with us. We'll cry and say what we want to say, and say what's going on, and then we get up. We do this in prayer. Oh, Father, do this, do that, do that, do that, do that. This is what I'm going through. Give me the check. And then we get up. I'm a firm believer of this. If you pray to him for 15, 20 minutes, then you need to spend 15 or 20 minutes in silence and listen to what he has to say. You pray for an hour, maybe you need to be an hour in silence. Because he has an answer. So you want to hear what his answer was? Jeremiah, who was working for him, who had made up his mind he was going to do that, but was feeling some kind of way because the people weren't receptive. 5th verse says what? If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? Uh-oh. What's God saying? He's saying if you can't handle this little stuff, if you can't run with the footmen, how you gonna graduate to the horses? I've prepared you for whatever it is that I got for you. So if I'm prepared you for whatever I got for you, that means that I am empowering you with whatever you need. I will carry you through with whatever you need as long as you stay in me. And if you can't handle this, you can't handle the other stuff that's coming. It's quiet in here. Anybody trusting God? Well, if you trust God, you trust him all the way. You don't just trust him on the first half. You trust him all the way through, from the beginning all the way to the end. You don't have to cry about it. He's going to prepare power for you. He's going to prepare the tools that you need. He's going to give you the encouragement that you need. All you got to do is say, Father, I believe you. I'm just going to do your work and trust you through this. I'll even give you people that you need. Go to Ecclesiastes, the fourth verse. You're not by yourself. You got Ecclesiastes 4, 9th verse. Says what? Two are better than one. Why? Because they have a good reward for their labor. Why? They're working what? For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. There was a commercial for that. I've fallen. Remember that? The person was what? Tell your neighbor, we're working together. We're working together. And finally, go to 2 Corinthians, the 12th verse. The horse gate. How are you not going to have faith that he's going to bring you through? All the way through. It's supposed to be easy. Nothing that you do for God is easy. That's why we got to be in his might. If you try to do it without his might, no, it's not. But if you're in him, if you're in him, let me say that again. If you're in him, you got his power. If you're in him, and your question to yourself should be, am I in him? So last verse, 2 Corinthians 12, chapter the 9th verse. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect. What does that mean? My power isn't just in me. It's in who? Eva. And my strength is made perfect in weakness. Why? When we submit and say, you know what? The battle is not mine. It's yours, Jehovah.
Come on, man.
Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. In the stuff that I got to go through, because I know that the power isn't about me. The power is about him. That the power of Messiah may what? People, stop getting caught up in what am I going to do? Isn't that what we say when something go wrong? Oh, God. What am I going to do? How does that sound? Oh, God. What am I going to do? If you spend enough time listening back, you'll be like, you can't do nothing. If we let God speak back to us, you can't do nothing. And then the next thing he say is, the battle is not yours. It's mine. What did I tell you before? I told you to cast your cares upon me. This is God talking. Whatever you're going through, take it and throw it on me. Because my shoulders are built for those problems. You're not built. Everybody in this, you're not built to carry on the world. But Yahweh, through him, you can do anything. All things are possible. To them that what? Believe. Cast your cares on him. Let him do the heavy lifting. And what happens when you trust him? See, if you don't trust him, if you don't give your problems to him, you're saying, I don't trust you. God, I can do this better than you can. You know what? I'm tired of that. I don't do that no more. There's some stuff that I can't handle. There's some stuff that's too heavy. There's some stuff that's too dark. There's some stuff that's just too painful. And so what I have to do, I say, Yahweh, I can't handle this. You take it. And let me tell you something. Every time, he comes through every time. Comes through every time. Every time. Who believes that you serve a God that comes through every time? Every time. Father, you come through every time. You come through every time. You come through every time. Father, help us. Help us to understand, Father, that the battle isn't ours, it's yours. You have the strength, you have the power to carry us through whatever it is that we just put our trust in you. We can never have too much faith in you. You said without faith it's impossible to please you. So we trust you. We believe your word is true, Father. We thank you, Father, for your power, for your might, for your authority that you've bestowed unto us, Father. And right now, Father, help us. Help us be better believers, Father. Help us to trust you more, Father. Continue to speak to us. Continue to minister to us by your word and by your spirit, Father. Our desire is for you to work through us. It's not us. It's not our power. It's your power. We want you to take it. We want you to fight the battles. We want you, Father Yahweh, to carry us to victory. Because that is what you do. So minister to each and every one of us the importance of being in you. We give you glory for it. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen. And Amen. Really quickly, before I let you go, just bow your head.